activity sheet there at the back. The nursery is open but not staffed, and we'll have something for the kids a little bit later. So, kids, you pay attention and listen. I'll call you up in a little bit. One of the things I've really appreciated about going through the whole narrative story of the Bible, we've been doing that as a congregation this past ministry season, is that you get a real sense for how God has been unveiling his whole plan. And many of the things he does in the Old Testament, he does in the New Testament. And he gives themes and pictures and narratives and ways he acts and interacts with people. He does the same thing in the New Testament as he does in the Old. It's as if he's foreshadowing. If the Bible were just a book, just a novel, just a story, it's brilliantly written, because as we're reading through and watching the story unfold, our mind should be drawn to, oh yeah, I remember that character, that thing that was happening before. And what happened just before all of the events we just had read to us was that Jesus sat down and he had a meal with his disciples. The Old Testament is absolutely relevant for us today, and we're going to look at something depicted here where that is actually this. Something that God did in his people in the Old Testament helps us understand what Christ did on the cross. In fact, if we don't understand the Old Testament that well, sometimes, North American Christians, it's difficult. Some of the Old Testament is hard to wade through. We don't understand it all, but it's rich with a lot of imagery and teaching that will help us unravel what Jesus did on the cross. Our understanding of what he did is rooted in, well, it really began back in Egypt, in a time where under the leadership of Moses, a man that God had chosen, God would save his people. For the first real time, they were slaves under Pharaoh. God had sent 9 plagues already to set them free, and the Pharaoh said, no, I'm not letting you go, I'm not letting my slaves go. But on the 10th, that would be where God really, really did something amazing. And so God gives Moses some instructions on what to do. And it seemed kind of odd. Already, God had done some miraculous things. But for this particular salvation, and they didn't know what would happen. We look back, if you know the story, you know that they were released from Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, and they ended up in the Promised Land after a number of years of wandering. But they had no idea what was happening. All they knew as a people was that they're to sit down and have a meal in a very special way. And here's the instructions that God gives Moses. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel together and said to them, go pick out a lamb or a young goat for each of your families and slaughter the Passover animal. Drain the blood into a basin, then take a bundle of hyssop branches and dip it into the blood. Brush the hyssop across the top and the sides of the door frames of your houses. And no one may go out through the door until morning, for the Lord will pass through the land and strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame, the blood of the lamb, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house and strike you down. That very night, every firstborn Egyptian died, and every home that had the blood of the lamb was protected and safe. And the angel of death passed over, and that very night, Pharaoh woke up to his firstborn son dead, and he called Moses and Aaron, the leaders of the people, into his home, and he said, you take your people and you get out of here. And in fact, as they were leaving, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, asked all the Egyptians for gold and precious things and all sorts of whatever they would need to leave, and the Egyptians were so terrified because they just lost at least one member of each family. They gave them everything they needed. So God plundered the enemy and sent his people off into freedom with everything they would need, but most importantly, himself. And this was a yearly celebration. Every year, the Jewish people would celebrate. They were supposed to, right? By the time Jesus is around 30 years old, a little more than that, he too takes his disciples to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. He's brought into Jerusalem on a donkey, and people are shouting Hosanna, and they're trying to make him their king. And he tells his disciples to go and prepare a room to eat Passover. And it's what all the Jewish people were doing anyway. And many would flock to Jerusalem to do that in the holy city, because there was just something being near the temple. It was the center of they were. And so they went to eat this Passover meal. And it was the exact same meal that Moses instructed the people to eat. They would eat it in the same way, and it had the same general meaning. Now, the interesting thing was, they weren't prepared for Jesus to say, that thing that you did there, that thing you celebrate every year, I'm going to give you a brand new meaning. Jesus didn't abolish the law. He didn't get rid of the Old Testament. He didn't say, you know, that was plan A, I've got plan B. He said, I'm going to bring fulfillment. And so it's some foreshadowing. And I laid the foundation, God the Father laid the foundation for your understanding of what Jesus would do in less than 24 hours. And so he sat down with his disciples and he ate a meal. So kids, any of our kids, I guess, you know, grade 2 and under-ish, come on up. And parents, you might want to come up too. If your kids have any allergies, just kind of flag me down. There's some bread and some salad-y stuff and some meat, so we might be trying. So kids, come on up. Have a seat. Just sit here where you can see what's going on up here. Come on up, guys. Grade 2 and under. Don't be afraid. There may or may not be a treat in it for you. All right, grab a seat here and make sure you can see what I'm doing. All right. So why just sit and turn around and see what's going on here? All right? Can you guys all see? Hey, you can come on around here. You can come up here if you want. You sit up around here. Yeah, you can sit. There you go. All right. So, Moses told the people to eat a meal, and it would be called the Passover meal because the angel would pass over them. They'd be protected. And there's a few things he said to have at your meal. They were supposed to eat it in a certain way. So the first thing he said is that you had to have your clothes on. You couldn't just be, then you'd eat everything like your cereal and your jammies on. Did they ever do that? I do that, right? And sometimes, maybe when you come home from school, you put your play clothes on, not your, you know, or you have to wear indoor clothes. They were to wear their outdoor clothes. So they'd have their coats on, said tie their belt real tight. And whenever you went on a long journey, you'd have a walking stick. Anybody go on a hike and you get a walking stick? I know Wesley does that all the time. You know, that's a boy thing usually. But yeah, you get a walking stick. So they said, listen, how many of you have ever sat down to a big supper, a fancy supper, like think Thanksgiving, Christmas, or maybe this weekend at Easter, and you've sat down to a fancy meal, and you have a walking stick, and your winter coat on, and your hat and mitts, and your boots, and you sit, and you eat. Now, here's the other thing. They had to have their outdoor clothes on, but you know how they had to eat it? Now, if you're eating it, when you eat it, or eat it at a fancy restaurant, are you supposed to use your hands and eat real quick, or are you supposed to eat polite? Fork and knife, and what else? Use your manners, and really nice, and eat it slow. Did any of your parents say you have to chew your food a number of times? Some of you say, yeah. Your parents say, you make 20 times, okay? God said, that's very good. That's very good. God said, look, wear your coats, have your sandals on, your outdoor sandals, listen, and I want you to eat this meal quick. I want you to eat this meal. Now, to God's people, they'd never eaten a meal like that before. So that's just how they were supposed to eat. Eat with your outdoor clothes on. You eat it as quick as you can. You just gobble it all down. And he said, you eat all of it. Ever been told you have to eat everything on your plate? It was even worse than that. You have to empty every bowl out. You call over neighbors. If you couldn't finish what you're eating, you say, look, all of us should gather, and we'll all eat it all. And whatever you don't eat, by the time you're done supper, you burn it. And here's what they ate. God said, you're going to eat a very specific meal. I want you to have unleavened bread. Now, do any of you have sandwiches that look like this? Some of you. This is called unleavened bread because, like, normal bread rises, right? It has yeast in it. It's fluffy and chewy. But it takes a few days to make. God said, I just want you to quick make some bread. I want you to throw your stuff on, quick make some bread, and don't let it rise. Just bake it and have it ready to eat. Does anyone want to try some of this? No one's allergic or gluten-free or anything. Good? Yeah. Okay. If you want it, you go ahead and take it. You can eat it. You try it. Just regular bread. Okay. But, all right, so they said, you're going to take, you had lamb chops. That's very good. So he said, take a lamb, and you're to prepare this meal with the lamb. When you drain the blood, that's when you prepare the meal, that drain blood. You take the blood, and you put it on the doorpost of your house. This is like the front door of your house. You put it on the sides and the top, and then you go in, and you can't come back out. So your lamb is cooked, your bread is made, and you cook this. Does anyone want a little bit of meat? So you need a little bit of meat? Okay, here, tell you what. You guys pass it around and take off a little piece, okay? Everyone take a little piece. Okay, just a little, that's a little big. Okay? Just a little piece. Let's try not to manhandle every little piece. There we go. Oh, Frank, here, I'm going to feel that. Okay, pass that around. Take the bowl, pass it along so everyone gets some. Okay? So those things were used to eat. Now the other thing they said is to make this meal go down a little bit more. They had some salad. They called it bitter herbs. Now this is a bitter herb. Anybody ever had parsley? Parsley. Doesn't taste good. Who wants some? You guys want to try that? Just rip it. Here, pass this around. Try a little bit, just a little bit. You won't want a big leaf. Trust me. Pass. Okay? Try and just rip off a little piece. Chew that. You know, some people use this like an after dinner, right? So God was saying, I want you to do that. And they had to drink something, okay? And typically with the Passover meal, they would have some wine. So they would pour some wine. You guys aren't going to pass this stuff around. It's gross. So they would have some wine. And so God said, I want you to eat this one. Keep the stuff going down. Okay? So it's kind of a different kind of meal than we would eat. But here's the thing. Let's remember again how we're to do it. Okay? How were they to eat the meal? What were they to wear? Do you guys remember? What were they going to wear? Anybody? They wore their outdoor clothes. How were they supposed to eat this meal? Very quick, with their hands lightly. Yeah, for sure. What kind of food did they eat? What's this? Well, what is it? You don't have to remember the specific bread. What kind of bread? Anybody know? It's unleavened. Let's just try that word. Ready? Unleavened. Very good. It means it doesn't rise. It doesn't rise. And this is turkey, but what kind of meat is this supposed to be? Lamb. And what else did they have? They had some kind of salad-y stuff. Right? Yeah, that's parsley. I don't think they had parsley. Okay, bitter. How many of you like the parsley? Did any of you like it? Some of us like it, some of us don't. Now, here's the cool thing. Here's the cool thing. That very night, these Jewish people, the Israelites, the people of God, who were slaves, they were slaves to the Egyptians. They weren't allowed to go where they want, do what they wanted. That very night, guess what God did? God set them free. And you know what God did? They didn't know why they were eating this meal, did they? Think about it. If you were going on a long journey, you would want to have your outdoor clothes on. You would want to have your walking stick. You would want to have a full belly. And this kind of bread, guess what they could do with it? They could pack it in their bag, carry it, because it was thin. So God prepared them for all these things, and they didn't even know it. They would be saved. And when Jesus sat down with his disciples, he sat just like this, a short table. They all sat on the floor and on cushions, and they ate with their hands, and they passed things around the table. And he said, you know, remember back to the Passover, and you had that unleavened bread, and you remembered the lamb? When you eat this bread now, don't think back to the Passover. I want you to think of my body, because in the same way you sacrificed the lamb so that you'd be set free, I'm going to sacrifice my body. And now when you drink grape juice or wine at your meal, at your Passover meal, I don't want you to think about the blood of the lamb. I want you to think about me, because Jesus Christ was freedom from Egyptians or freedom from sin? Why do you think it's because freedom from the Egyptians was temporary. The Egyptians were chasing. But freedom from sin and eternal life was forever. You guys have been really good. Here, I want you, you guys can make a little line here. Come over here, and I'll give you all some. Yeah, okay. Wow, that was good. Okay? All right? There you go. All right. Yeah, everybody gets three. Not allowed to have these, I'd be glad. So the amazing thing about what Jesus did, about what God did when he had the people eat the meal, is they had no idea that they'd be saved that night. No idea. Before morning, everything would be changed. When Jesus sat down with his disciples, before morning, everything would be changed. God set in plan, or in motion, his plan. And the way that God had painted the doorframe, foreshadowed the cross. It's all the same thing. And so in Jesus, he says, look, I don't want you to celebrate this Passover meal in the same way you have before. I want you to celebrate it in a new way. The original Passover was about freedom, salvation, and life, because the cross would follow that. And we partake in the Passover of sorts, but the new kind, to remember what Jesus did on the cross for our sakes. The original Passover meant freedom through blood. It was temporary freedom through the blood of a spotless lamb. But in the cross, there is freedom through blood that is forever. But it's Jesus' blood. The old Passover meant freedom from slavery to the Egyptians, which is good. It set them free. It set the stage for them to enter the promised land and for God to do great things. But the cross meant freedom from sin forever. That paved the way for the receiving of blessing and life. Passover meant freedom to life. The Israelites were free. They weren't under the control of the Egyptians. They would enter into their own land, set up their own kingdom, and see God raise them to the point under Solomon where they were the greatest kingdom ever. But we've been given freedom through Christ to life. And Jesus says, the life I give is abundant. It's full. It's not dependent on how much you have, whether you have a kingdom or king or stuff. It's all about how you've been set free and who you are. I've created you to be this way, and I will set you free to live that way. And so this morning we're going to partake of communion together, because it's the example that Jesus gave. We're going to understand the cross. We need to understand the freedom that God gave his people in the Old Testament, because he's completing that. It's a fulfillment of what he did there. And in what was known as the Last Supper, Jesus changes our understanding of those same things that he used so many thousands of years before. Matthew tells us this. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this, eat it, for it's my body. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It's poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of men. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He's saying, this thing's so new that I'm going to withhold. It's different, but it's completion. And so today we celebrate communion. Now we're not in, all of us aren't enough to fit in an upper room. Jesus is here with us, but not in bodily form. And so today we're going to partake of communion a little differently than maybe you have in the past. Because Jesus made communion and the Lord's Supper such a communal thing, and in the early church, it was what they did. They would gather regularly for a full meal, and they would partake of bread and wine together and remember the Lord's death. It wasn't just a personal thing, it was a communal thing. So today I want to give some instructions on how we'll partake of communion. We're going to take a bit of time together, and we do this with the kids in so you can explain to them what it is, and you can decide as parents whether they're ready to do this. The Lord's table isn't limited to those who are members of Country Hill. It is limited to those who are followers of Jesus, who decided to follow him, who believed in him, received him, and now follow him. And we're also told that when you come to the Lord's table, if you have something between you and another person, maybe you should just let it pass for that time. And so if this morning you just like to not partake, that shows a lot of maturity. It's a wise choice if your heart's not prepared. And we'll have some verses on the screen and some music. You can just quietly reflect and spend some time with God. If you do partake, I invite you to come forward. Just choose your station. And take about a third of a piece of unleavened bread for yourself, and one cup per person. Go back in your family, friend group, as a couple, with people sitting around you. You decide who the group is that you're going to take this with. And start by giving bread to one another. Break off a piece and give it to one another. And say, this is the body of Christ broken for you. Eat together. And then each of you will have a cup. And just say one by one to each other, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. You don't have to share the cup. You can drink your own. If you are gluten sensitive, there's some gluten-free crackers up there. Jesus meant for us to celebrate together, to remember. And every time we do this, we proclaim his death until he comes again. It's a way of both looking back, it's a way of focusing on where we're at with others, and it's a way of looking forward. And after you've done that together in whatever grouping and formation you choose this morning, I ask you just to spend some time in prayer today. And following that, I'll invite the worship team to come up and close our service. So let me pray over this time. You come up on your own, gather together wherever you would like, in your seats or up in a corner or something like that, and take this time to remember Christ's death with others around you. Heavenly Father, thank you that you didn't have a plan B. Jesus' death on a cross was meaningful. It was a plan from the beginning. We didn't expect it. We couldn't have seen it. We couldn't have thought it. We planned it ourselves. We don't deserve it. Everything Jesus went through, Father, on the Passover meal on to his death, just horrific, and all for us. Help us to